Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Business Solutions Radio, sponsored by Conscious Capitalism Arizona, where our theme is It's Just Good Business. The purpose of this show is to highlight conscious businesses in Arizona that offer solutions to a wide range of challenges faced by business owners. I'm your host, John Deiter. My company is John Deiter Solutions. I work with business owners and their leadership teams to teach, facilitate, and coach them on the implementation of the Entrepreneurial Operating System, or EOS, which is based on the book Traction by Gino Wickman. And it helps me serve my passion, which is to help business owners get all they want from their business. So just a little bit more about our sponsor, Conscious Capitalism Arizona. As I search for great guests for the show, I'm looking to invite what I would call conscious business leaders. They may or may not know about the Conscious Capitalism movement or the Conscious Capitalism Arizona chapter, at least not yet, and may not even consider themselves as knowingly following the four pillars of conscious capitalism, but they all embody the theme of our show, that it's just good business. So I look forward to shining a bright light on these businesses, and I'm really pleased today to have Tim Young from Wealth Point LLC as my guest today, and I want to welcome Tim. I'm going to give him a little bit of an intro here. Tim works with his clients consulting on family business, wealth transfer, management succession planning, and owner exit strategies. Tim joined Wealth Point at the end of 2010 through a merger of Liquidity Partners, which is a firm he co-founded in 2006. He's got 20 years of experience building a family-owned second-generation product and equipment distribution company into a successful $65 million company that had 120 employees, held positions ranging sales up to president and CEO, and went through all the life cycles of a business from growth and succession to actually sale of that business. So he's seen it all and has lots to share with his clients. And I think I'm going to leave it at that because there's lots more I'd rather have him tell us about what he does. And so, Tim, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here, John. Thanks for the invitation.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to our conversation. So tell me a little bit, tell our audience, I guess, a little bit more about what Wealth Point does.
Well, Wealth Point was founded in 2010. I merged my practice, and we have another partner that merged their practice, Mike Olson, with Ryan Baratas, who 6 months previous to us getting together started Wealth Point. So we all feel like we were co-founders as right. We've grown over the last 8 years working together. We help families that happen to own operating assets or businesses figure out what they want to do with that business sometime in the future. So really, it's serving that business owner client to get clarity around what's important to them. And as you know, we as entrepreneurs collect people along the way.
Right.
So it's not just to serve that business owner, but also their stakeholder group. Right. So that could be family members as well as non-family members.
Sure.
And they could be active key people in the business, or they may be trusted advisors that have been with them along the journey. So we want to get that voice represented in a process that we've created over the last 8 years to really get clarity for the business owner. Where do they want to be someday? And, you know, answer like three questions.
Right.
Why are you doing it?
Why?
Who are you doing it for?
Who?
And how much longer do you want to do it?
Right.
So
often it seems that I've encountered a lot of those kinds of folks and worked for a couple of those kinds of family businesses. And, you know, they look at selling, but then they have second thoughts about, well, this is my father's business, right?
Right.
And the employees and what's going to happen to the employees. And there's just a lot to get through when they start thinking about that. And a lot of times it just kind of sits on the table then, right?
Yes.
They just don't bring it out. So how do you encourage them, or how do you get them to say, hey, yeah, I need some help to work on this?
Well, I think that's part of the magic, right, is to have an entrepreneurial voice. So everything that we've designed and the people in our firm and Ryan and myself have really built the process backwards. So having gone through the whole transition of a generational business, mm-hmm. second generation founder's son, who got the business through wealth transfer, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then had three children that had zero interest in this distribution business.
Yeah.
So I was one of the key people in the distribution business and became the succession plan to transfer from second generation to insider.
Okay.
Right? So it became an insider transfer. And that's not knowing that that was what I was going to be doing sometime in the future.
Right.
But what really happened when we sold the business to Fujifilm, it was because of Fuji's belief that there was lack of succession in their distribution channel in the United States. So aged ownership, lack of succession. And so now with the baby boomer generation that have hair like mine, right?
Or
gray.
Or shave it down so it doesn't look so gray like me.
I mean, there's a huge population of successful business owners that haven't had this conversation, that haven't prepared for the eventual exit. And like you said, it's hard to motivate yourself to deal with it because there's so much complexity, right? Not only not only your own mortality, or you founded it, or your second generation, it means my my runway is getting shorter.
Yeah.
So do I really want to face that about what comes next? You know, so a lot of people fixate on that. And instead of looking towards how are we going to make sure we protect this operating asset, they look at that mortality or that runway, and the business has essentially defined them.
Right.
And so what am I going to do next? Do I have hobbies? Do I have other things that I want to accomplish? Do I want to give back? Do I want to, what does the next chapter look like? So we have to help them really find that next chapter and write that next chapter. So that's why we use the tagline, know your story.
Right. I like that tagline for sure.
Well, we truly need to give the time and the respect to the prospective clients about who they are, what makes them tick, what's important to them, what's their core values, who's important to them, and what do they really want to accomplish instead of pushing them into financial decisions about you should be selling this business. Let's first explore what are my options.
Right.
And really the way that we're dealt with as entrepreneurs in the professional services community is it's a siloed approach, right? So we have experts in the law, we have experts in tax, we have experts in wealth management, so on and so forth. But do we have the opportunity to have an entrepreneurial voice in the room where I can bounce my fears off of that understands me and then ask the tough questions about what do you really want? And let's not run from this. Let's embrace it. Because you really, if you think about it, John, they've been the architect of success, right?
Sure.
Controlling their own destiny for decades.
Right.
Yet one of their most important decisions, they don't want to deal with that and be the architect of where this thing goes somewhere in the future.
Yeah.
I think they need to be offered a process to allow themselves to take that same energy that got them to where they got and be the architect of what happens next.
Right. And having being able to show them a path, steps to take, the planning steps that I know you coordinate when you talk their story and get into the details, that takes the burden off of them of having to think of everything they need to think of to do it.
Exactly.
And with a planned approach that you have, they will talk more about that in a bit, but It can relieve so much of the burden from their mind and just answer some questions and get those feelings out.
Right.
What a trusted advisor you have to become to do that.
Well, you're a kindred spirit going in.
Right.
So there becomes that connection and that connectivity that this person has walked in my shoes.
Sure.
This person understands the way I feel. Right. And they're not trying to sell me a product.
That's the key right there.
Hey. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
We're providing a solution based around what I want.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a game changer from how we approach things, and that's all intentional.
Sure. Well, in most cases, you know, when you talk about the baby boomers that have family businesses, that does, and you probably know better than I from the companies you've looked at, that tends to be 80, 75, 80, 90, almost all of their assets. You know, unless they've done some other tax planning with pension plans and some things like that, but that's the operating asset that they need to
Well, there's a
value.
You're absolutely correct. I mean, when you think of the what the operating asset provides, not only for the owner of that asset, but for all the stakeholders associated with it, it's providing the cash flow for them to achieve their hopes and dreams.
Right.
Right. So that responsibility of that owner that has 25, 45, 105 up of employees,
right,
their hopes and dreams are based around the continuity of that company.
Sure.
Right. And so then we also, as entrepreneurs, collect those people along the way that we have that sense of responsibility towards. By not having a plan around that or really having made decisions around what if something were to happen prematurely, but actuarially, yep, they will probably step away from the business sometime in the future. Yep. Right. So if they voluntarily.
They will exit their business at some point.
Right.
It's just a matter how.
Right. Walking.
Right.
Or not.
Vertical or right, horizontal. Yeah. Yeah.
So when we look at things through that lens, we say, okay, so why don't we be proactive and have a sense of responsibility? And many of our clients already have that walking through the door. Mm-hmm. They just don't have clarity around how to do that.
Right.
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 So then we invite them to enter into a decision-making process and leave a planning process behind. Because what we found from an entrepreneurial perspective is that we love making decisions. Right.
But
we also love more making great decisions. But
sure,
the only way we can make great decisions is to have good information.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So what's typically offered as it relates to succession planning is there's premature death planning.
Okay.
So then that's backstopped with an insurance product in most cases.
Okay.
But so that's one thing. Or they've met with their estate planning attorney and there's really some efficient estate planning where we can transfer a valuable asset by gifting strategy to the next generation.
Right.
And that's one way to solve an issue. But it doesn't solve the succession inside an operating asset.
Right.
Right?
Right, right.
So how are we going to succeed the future leaders of the business? Right.
Mm-hmm.
First, we deal with who's going to be the future owners. Then we want to deal with who are the future leaders.
Right.
Who are the future managers? Because you know in the work you do, there's right, leaders and managers, and those are two different things.
Sure.
Doesn't
sure,
make either one bad, but you need both.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And then most businesses that are very successful have created a culture. So wouldn't we want to transfer that culture to the next generation of leaders, owners, and managers? I think so.
I think most entrepreneurs would want that, along with, you know, taking care of their people. Most of the ones I've talked to, they acknowledge they
yes,
wouldn't be there without people that they brought on board. So there is a real desire to,
yeah,
to do that.
So now we have that culture that made us successful. Plus we have internal and external relationships, right?
Right.
So those relationships drive revenue.
Absolutely.
In many cases. One thing that's typically left behind or not paid attention to is that the last two, the culture piece and the relationship
right,
piece.
Right.
So let's say the founder has been the visionary and the driver and has the relationships that drive 60% of the revenue of the company.
Right.
How are we going to successfully allow that person to step away unless we've transferred that relationship glue?
Right.
To the next generation,
sure,
inside the business, right? So I agree with what you say. Most owners have this sense of responsibility towards others. Quite frankly, if they're selfish and self-centered and self-serving, they're not going to be a client at WealthPoint because it doesn't align with our core values.
And that's I am going to throw off the conscious capitalism movement here because what you just described is a conscious leader that's concerned about all his stakeholders, about the culture, having a great culture and doing the right thing for all those stakeholders and leading that way. So definitely there's, you know, that's a conscious approach to the business for sure.
Yes.
And I'd be reluctant if I didn't introduce the EOS tools here as well. When you talk about culture, that's one of the first questions we ask in our vision building day, what are the values of the business? And we discover those. You know, a lot of times people will put them up on the wall and they're kind of, this is what we want to be or aspirational or kind of accidental.
Right.
Or you have a group of 20 employees that kind of come up with those. And it really needs to be from the top. discovered what really is our core values, because that's what's going to create the culture. And, yeah. and if it's there and you identify it, you reinforce that through all the other tools that we use, working with people, managing with people,
right,
and so forth. So those core values are all about the culture. And then, again, the accountability chart, where we clarify the roles for all the positions we need in the business, that gives a clear picture to people where they can grow, where they need to grow, where the issues are going forward from the business through a succession plan. And then those become issues that we sit down and solve using our issue solving track, and it just flows really well. So putting an EOS model into a business like that goes a long way towards solving a lot of those things you just talked about.
Well, it sure does. And, you know, I've been through a whole life cycle of a business, and we walked the talk and talked the talk before the book came out.
Yep.
those processes, they were innate to us of how we operated the business.
Right.
100% transparency, getting people aligned to what was in it for them and what's in it for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Really, how to serve the client, how to serve the internal client, external client, really getting clear on what the metrics are of accountability.
Right, right.
Because
data component in EOS.
Right. Well, everybody has a number over their head.
Right.
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 Are they contributing to the overall success or not?
Right.
And if they're not, why not?
Right, right.
Right. So we've also embarked at WealthPoint on the EOS process.
Yes.
And we have our vision days coming up in about 30 days.
30 days, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
And we're excited about it.
I'm privileged to be able to lead that with you, with your team. I had a lot of fun, and you guys did some good hard work the first session. And you've got a lot of good things going on, but I think even better once we get through the EOS
package. Well, you know, I see this synergy in what we do as how this relates to succession planning, right? Because in many cases, we'll walk into a business opportunity and just as a little fact pattern or foundation, we've served well over 80 family groups in the last 8 years.
Wow.
Right? So we have a body of knowledge that we didn't have when we first started building this process.
Yes.
And you learn what you should do and what you shouldn't do. And by building a process, we have continued repeatable success by following a process, right?
Sure.
But in many cases, if it's going to be a generational business, there's a gap between current leadership and next generation kids.
Right.
Right. And if it's multiple family members in a business, or mom and dad gifted it to second generation siblings, and now we're going to go to third.
Yes.
It becomes more and more complex, right?
Yes, it does.
There's two things. I mean, the statistics that are wrapped around why businesses, the percentages that transfer from first to second are low.
Right.
And they get even lower going from second to third.
Yep.
The purpose of that statistic, many people think, is because it's dysfunctional. And the relationship just gets so dysfunctional that we're forced to sell the business. But that's really not the underlying cause. The underlying cause is, as the family group grows and the business doesn't, there's more mouths to feed, right? So you have to have an intent, right? Intentional growth to know that if we now have five shareholder families versus two, we have to produce more net profit to be able to distribute out for people to live the lives they want to live.
Right.
Or if we can't grow or don't want to grow, then we need to do a little of what we call pruning the tree, because it won't be sustainable.
Right. Right.
And so to get on the path and then couple that with the EOS process helps with that succession strategy, because most of our clients have a gap in the value that they are today. The cash flow the business is throwing off today, and that 100% dependency where you said 80 plus percent of their net worth in that business, equity. And one thing we both know is you can't spend net worth and you can't spend equity.
That's right.
It requires cash flow.
That's cash.
So we need to diversify away from that asset systematically to get to a number that's comfortable for that current owner to succeed the business to another leader and owner.
Right.
Otherwise, they won't give up control.
Sure.
Right? So it's important that we address those things, and in our process, we do.
Cool. Yeah. That's one thing that impressed me when I first met I think it was Frank and then you and through Ryan and the rest, you really go beyond just that business owner. It's so often people that do this, maybe not as broad a scope, just get in and talk to the business owner. They're the decision maker and they go from there. But the way you drill down and involve the rest of the family, all those other family stakeholders that are getting dividends, that are living off the operating asset, that's like, I recognize that immediately, but it wasn't really top of mind. That's really a critical part of what you're doing.
Well, you've been involved in family-owned businesses.
I have, yeah.
And you've been involved in leadership of family-owned businesses.
Yes.
And you've seen the upside and the downside.
Yes.
Of decisions that are made.
Yep.
And is it sustainable or not, right?
Right.
So
right.
We learn from what doesn't work, and then we want to educate and share and hold our clients accountable to changing behavior, strategy, tactics to achieve what they say is important to them.
Right.
Right.
Make those decisions, as you say.
Accountability partner.
Right.
Which EOS is all about accountability.
That is, yes, absolutely.
Right. Our process is all about accountability. I mean, we have a peer-to-peer relationship with our clients. We're not subservient to high ego, hard charging founders, leaders right. of successful operating companies. They typically have enough yes people in their lives. We need right. to be the contrarian to help them achieve what they say is important to them. So we're really, when you boil it down, what you do and what we do, we're in the behavior changing business.
True.
I think that's the hardest thing to do on the planet.
Right, right.
So without process, without a strong emotional anchors for those involved in change, they're not going to.
Right.
Right. right. So the pain of entering into a process of us, it has to be less than staying on the current path they're on. Right.
That's a good way to put these kinds of decisions in entrepreneurs or even doing the EOS or what you're doing. It's, yeah, they'll sense that they're intuitively, yeah, I really can use that. But they haven't identified in their minds enough pain yet.
Right.
And it
to
may
change.
Just be not the right time to make that change. But all we can do is share what we do and what we can do for them.
Right.
And be around when they start.
When they're ready.
When they're ready, yeah.
When they're ready.
That's really my approach too.
When we look at it from the core beliefs that we have, we're really in the life-changing business.
Absolutely.
And by helping 80 plus families change their paths and course that they were on to one that they want to be on.
Right.
I mean, there's no more rewarding thing on the planet for me.
Yeah. If you had to guess, how many employees were involved in those 85 businesses?
I would say 6,000 or more.
6,000 or more. Think about that. What kind of community that you've helped, that if they've done that successfully and right and kept those people working, doing what they do best and keeping going, that's got to feel good.
I think it's capitalism at its finest.
It sure is, consciously, for sure. Free enterprise. It's lifted more people from poverty and done more good than any other system out there. So,
well, it's also, you know, in some opportunities that we find ourselves in, as we age and we're leaders of companies, our risk tolerance goes down. So many companies need to keep growing or changing to be relative and viable in the future, right?
Mm-hmm.
Relevant and viable.
Right.
So when we look at that, we say, okay, so if we're going to, because of our runway that's left, we're going to take less risk. How much missed opportunity is right. associated with that?
Yeah. Yeah. You lay that in with the people and the need to grow to support the family and all those stakeholders. They have to grow and find a way to do that.
That's right. Right. That's yeah. right. But really providing points to make decisions on, because like our clients are craving that entrepreneurial voice in the room that they can bounce things off of.
Right.
But they not only look at things from the perspective of these are my personal goals and objectives. So these are the emotional anchors of really what I want to do with the runway I have left.
Right.
Then we incorporate all the stakeholders' goals and objectives
wow,
right,
yeah.
into that process. And we find out where we have gaps. Right. So we get common themes, but sometimes we get outliers. So many owners because they haven't communicated what's going to happen in the future, if they're 60, 65, 70 years old, their A players have a plan B for themselves because one hasn't been communicated to them by current ownership.
That's a great point, right?
Right?
Yeah.
So on any given day, you might get 100% out of them, but on another day, 60% because I'm worried about what happens to my family if something changes here.
Right.
Right? Right. Right. And so we find that it's really healthy to help business owners communicate that message by inviting their key people in who they have this sense of responsibility towards to find out what their hopes and dreams are.
Right.
Because if we can align everybody's hopes and dreams.
Yeah, how powerful is that?
Gosh. Throw the cash flow off that's necessary for everybody to get what they want, which is utopia. And we don't oftentimes reach utopia. But just by having that voice sends a different message that, guess what? You are a big reason why we're successful. Yeah. I'm not just saying it. I'm actually showing with my actions how much I care.
Right, right.
That's a game changer just in that first phase of what we do.
Sure, sure.
Right? And then from that information, we're able to take and show, here's everybody's goals and objectives. Now, how do we bounce that up against the numbers?
Yeah.
Right. And you saw our financial modeling tool
that's
proprietary that we had to create ourselves.
Right.
Because we needed to have a much more dynamic tool to use to help our clients make decisions.
Right.
So number one, we wanted to take them out of a planning process, put them into a decision making process. Right.
Yep.
So then we wanted to help them make decisions on three realms. So get them to a place of still wisdom, which is clarity around what I want.
Right.
Right. And then go into instinct verification, which is numerical.
Okay.
What do the numbers say? Where am I really? Because I had a myth in my former business before we sold to what I thought the value was.
Always, right?
Right. And that myth was really based on going to trade shows on a yearly basis, having relationships with other of my peers in the industry.
Right.
And then finding out that Lou sold his business. And we go, wow, Lou sold his business? Then you have the next question. What did he sell it for? Right?
Yep, yep.
And then you have that next thought in your head. Well, if Lou sold it for $30 million, mine's got to be worth $60.
Right.
No basis of fact.
Yeah, yeah.
So then numerically, we want to make sure we show, here's where we really are on the business value. Here's where we really are on your personal net worth and the other income-producing assets you might have.
Right.
And then marry the personal with the business, because all of our clients that have 80-plus percent or more of their net worth tied up in an operating asset live and breathe on the business financial side.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So in financial services industry, what they're offered is two entry points on the software.
Okay.
So, John, how much cash flow do you get from this business on a yearly basis? You give them the answer. Mm-hmm. Then they say, so, John, what do you think your business is worth? So, in my case, $60 billion could have been like $30 million high.
Right.
Or more. Who knows?
Right.
But those are two inaccurate numbers because they move all the time.
Right.
So we said that's not serving the entrepreneurial client. We need to develop a tool where we can actually show them the relationship between what they do over on the operating asset and how that impacts them on the personal.
Sure. Wow.
And move back and forth from strategy, right? And say, if we were to open new markets, create new products, buy new equipment, so on and so forth, how much runway do we need to move the value of our company up before we make an investment in doing whatever we think we should do?
Sure.
Right?
Yep, yep.
So by tying those things together, not only the emotional anchors, right? So we want to quantify the numbers, and then we want to look operationally. If we need to fill a gap operationally,
right?
Speaking to EOS, do we have the right mix inside the business?
Right.
Right. So we've got to get the business running to the metrics.
Right.
Right. And putting the right ingredients in the business, because we can want to grow all we want to grow. But many people fail growing, don't they?
It could be they hit what we call the ceiling, where the capabilities of them to manage a bigger organization or of the people to manage it, they just kind of get stalled. So again, yes. EOS can help break through those ceilings with the tools and processes. But yeah, a lot of times that business owner will be satisfied. We're doing this, and I think if I sell it for 15, 20 million, I'm going to be okay. Again, not knowing whether that 20 or 30 million is the right number or not, and they're just happy to bounce along. Well, if you're not growing at that point, you really are losing momentum.
That's right.
Because the value of the business, of a business that isn't growing, just diminishes over time.
That's right.
Sometimes gradually, sometimes more than gradually. But
plus, it harkens back to that sense of responsibility to others, right?
Right. Yeah.
So that's the third component we use when we're helping our clients make decisions, right? So we not only look at the numerical side, the operational side, but then the relationship side.
Oh, yeah.
So now we've interviewed all the people that are near and dear to your heart, all the stakeholders, internal, external, whether they be trusted advisors or key people in the business. What are they thinking? So if we're going to come up with solutions in a collaborative approach by leveraging other professionals,
right,
on the behalf of the client's goals, we want to flip that switch from that's an expense to an investment, because we put a stake in the ground and say, if we succeed, and when we succeed at this, this is the return on investment, right?
Perfect, yeah.
So now these are the people that are important to you. Success says you need to be X. If we come up with solutions that blow up any of those relationships, it's probably not going to be well received.
Right.
Right?
Sure.
So we all know that successful family businesses, there's a component of drama management.
Right.
Inside that, in every business,
sure,
really.
Yeah.
So we want to understand where the drama might be and make sure that we present solutions that can either navigate around it, or if it needs to be addressed head on,
right,
because it's going to be a problem sometime in the future, we want to know what the options are and then present those options to the current decision makers so they'll move forward.
Right.
And then get alignment from all the other trusted advisor group and come to that business owner and decision maker with one voice.
Yeah, yeah. That's really powerful. And again, I'm understanding that you're putting decisions in front of them, doing a lot of work and planning behind the scenes, but you're taking advantage of their time by just getting their best thoughts out and then giving them decisions to be made. Maybe doing some explanation, but
sure,
because you do a lot of the planning, right? Taking their comments, their assumptions, what they need, and then pulling together all the information.
We do, but then we share that breadth of knowledge with all the other trusted professionals.
There we go.
Right, so nobody's now making, there's not anybody making partial presumptions.
Or second guesses.
Because of lack of information about the whole story.
Sure.
Right, because we're terrible as entrepreneurs articulating this is where we want to end up.
Right.
Because typically the first 20 years or so, we're building.
Right, right.
We're getting up. We're making the donuts, right? We're getting up and doing it again. And then we're trying to stay ahead of the cash flow as we grow.
Right.
Because that's what we learn how to do. That's what we know how to do.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
So when we look at it from the perspective of sharing that breadth of knowledge with the trusted advisor group for the first time, the decision maker seeing everything laid out in writing, that this is what's important to me, this is where I am, and we take that same breadth of information and educate all of their trusted advisors that this is where we want to end up. Hmm. So now we can leverage their skill set, their body of knowledge, their expertise to a goal.
Right.
And then we build all the decision-making process and solutions backwards as a collaborative team of professionals serving that entrepreneurial client, which is right, a game changer, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just to have that confidant as an entrepreneur has to be a big relief, just to have that another trusted advisor, you know, others that he or she has probably are trusted as well, but somebody that's pulling that all together and may have the best financial advisor, but they're always trying to sell on a pension plan, right?
Right.
Okay, well, that's a siloed great idea.
This could be a wonderful solution.
Is that
let's make sure.
In the overall scheme of things.
Does it get me to where I want to go?
Doesn't get you there, yeah.
But what we find, though, is now we don't have that fee sensitivity around each discipline because it's an investment to achieve this goal, which then everybody reaps this benefit.
Right.
So if it's important enough, then you'll change behavior to achieve that goal, and we're allowed to do our best work to serve that client, because up to that point, we're making partial presumptions about outcomes all over the place because we have lack of information.
Right.
Right?
Right, sure.
I mean, there's key things that I've experienced in the past that led me to where I am today, and it's that word succession.
Right.
I mean, Fuji spent multiples of millions of dollars rolling up their U.S. distribution channel in the graphic arts business because of their fear that we have 17 dealers that cover the U.S. footprint, and we have no control over succession, and they're aged. Nobody's given us a written succession plan about who's up next.
Wow. So, yeah.
Right? So if you think about that power of why a huge corporation would make that decision, now bring it down to an entrepreneurial family group. It doesn't get any easier.
No.
It's the same set of circumstances.
For sure.
Right?
Yep, absolutely.
And so if you truly want it to be generational, because many people ask, when should you start? Should already have an idea.
Right.
You should already have a stake in the ground. Right. You should already understand that every day I get up, it's so I can go do this sometime in the future. I love what I'm doing, but it doesn't define me, right?
Right.
I want to do these things as well. And oftentimes we don't have that governor as entrepreneurs. Right. So there's no life balance.
Right. Right.
Because early days, it's a grind.
Yep.
And then if you continue to grow, it's never not a grind.
It's never not a grind, it seems like. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's all you know?
It needs to be a decision to move away from that. And in fact, more than one of my clients that I'm implementing EOS with have realized the value in time of having a system in place, tools like EOS that gives them the freedom and to let go and let people achieve at their unique abilities. And they have the confidence that they're going to do that in a structure and processes so that they are able to spend time either with somebody that really needs help or with things that they want to do instead.
Right.
It doesn't get any better than that for me as an implementer.
Well, I mean, you really don't have a saleable company to a third party if it's you.
Exactly, yeah.
Right.
Sure.
If there's not a team of people that can operate this company on a daily basis, whether you're there or not, you have a really diminished value. And somebody would look at that as, so I'm buying a job.
Exactly.
And then they have to make the decision, is that what I want as a buyer, is to buy a job?
Right.
And typically the answer is no.
No. yeah.
Right?
For sure, for sure.
So we look at all the relationships, but, you know, as a firm, it's not just me, it's not just Ryan. We have multiple partners that deliver the services, but even in addition to that, we have a team of backstage people that keep all the promises.
Right,
right,
right. I've met some of those. They're great people.
Right. So we have 27 people in the firm now. Mm-hmm. We're in three markets serving family groups. We have a national footprint because we have clients all across the country.
Okay.
From our last 8-10 years of doing this. So we're not limited by boundaries.
Right.
Right. From that perspective, we're really only limited by is it the right type of person to help?
Yeah. Yeah. How many of your 85 clients have been from referrals? Is that something that you track or?
Yes. I mean, a large percentage is referral-based.
Yeah, yeah.
We're in the referral-based business. Ryan and I, a few years back, did a lot of national speaking engagements.
Okay.
It's when the economy wasn't so hot here in Phoenix.
Right.
And people were looking for help from a turnaround management perspective.
Mm.
And that wasn't where we wanted to spend our energy.
Right. Tough business.
Right. And so we went to other markets based around those speaking engagements and served other families in other markets. For the last 3.5 years here in Phoenix, it's been wonderful.
Yeah.
We have a lot of Phoenix-based clients now. But we're also, because of being in the Denver market, we're serving some Denver families now.
Right.
We hope to be serving some San Diego families. We actually are serving a couple, but we're building we're building that facility out with a
nice
consultant and so on and so forth.
Yeah, that's you talk about the baby boomers and the businesses that are going to transition at some point. I heard a number that the next 10 years there's $1 trillion of privately owned
$10 trillion
of privately owned businesses that are going to have some kind of transition, just if not before, because of the owner, the baby boomer, reaching that point in the end of their life.
That's right.
So that's a phenomenal market right there.
Well, it's the largest amount of equity that's ever been created by closely held businesses in this country.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
But unfortunately, less than 30% will have a successful transaction. 30%.
Yeah.
Right? And this for all different reasons.
Right.
But one of the main reasons is a lack of planning.
Lack of planning.
So a little planning goes a long way, but I think more importantly for an entrepreneur, it brings peace of mind when you understand where am I really?
Right.
That clarity alone creates that still wisdom that we talk about.
Sure.
To then make some big decisions moving forward. But until we can get to that place of instinctual clarity, how can we possibly make any decisions?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? It's easier to kick that can down the road, and why would I on purpose bring all this stuff up?
Right. It just makes me lose sleep. Yeah. Well, we've got a long way to go to help that other 70%, Tim, between the EOS and WealthPoint. We got a lot of work to do in the next 10 years. So.
We do, but it's so fun to see how sometimes there's harmony that has left the building, the energy of sometimes left the business. Hmm. People feel negative instead of positive because they don't see the options. They haven't been made aware or educated on what their options are. Oftentimes it's when we get in and do the work we do and straighten things out, the owner gets refreshed because now they've learned to delegate. They've learned to trust the leadership team. I mean, why have them on the payroll but make every decision, right?
Right, right. So, and that motivates those employees and managers to, wow, I'm making a big impact here. And by gosh, I'm realizing some benefits from this. And they've got a plan for me as we transition. And just totally realigned into the vision and moving forward. So,
but then it refreshes that business owner, right? Because they say, oh, now I've taken all these things that I hate to do off my plate.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm re-energized to go out and do what we need to do to achieve what I say and what others are saying is important to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And really, if you think about it, doing the right thing every day, the financial part comes.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's executing every day.
Executing.
On agreed to goals.
Same goals, proven processes, core processes that are documented and followed by all. It simplifies it, gets it all done.
Yeah.
Done well right every time.
But I think one of the things that's helpful for entrepreneurs to understand is as you look at financial markets, as the complexity of the asset that's being managed goes up, so do the fees associated with that, right?
Sure.
So you can start out with a bond fund and it's really inexpensive to manage.
Right.
Move into ETFs, still inexpensive. But then as we move up the realm of complexity, so do the fees. So you can get up to alternative funds. You can get up to hedge funds, and it's could be 3% plus 20% of the ups, 6% plus 20% of the ups, because it takes really smart people to manage those assets to a return. Some risk involved, but you want to mitigate that risk with smart people.
Right.
So an operating asset is really a mini micro cap with key person risk all over the place, illiquid, non-marketable security.
Right.
Right. So it doesn't get any tougher or complex than that.
Right.
We really need to have an intention around why we're doing it, who we're doing it for, and how much longer do I want to do it? And then bring the disciplines to the table that are necessary to manage a complex asset.
Right.
and know that there's going to be fees associated with it from an investment perspective because it's complex.
Right, right. We're supposed to have another guest with us today from a valuation firm, a business valuation and M&A firm. Someone you knew from IBG Fox and Finn.
Right.
Great people in the Phoenix area here. And they obviously get into the work on doing the valuation. And a little while ago in my career, I was credited with in business valuation as a CPA.
Mm-hmm.
And you really get to see, it's not just how much did Tim sell his business for, and so I should get that or plus. There's a lot involved when you're looking at historical numbers, trends, soft, intangible things like management teams and those risks of concentrated markets, concentrated customers, just all kinds of things come into play that.
Well, once again, valuation is an educated guess based around numbers.
Sure.
And all the other intangibles, right?
Right.
But really the value is what a willing buyer and a willing seller will transact at.
Exactly.
Right. But for our clients, we in our financial modeling tool on the business, we give range of values and we use different methodologies, not to use for any gifting strategies or certain purposes from a financial perspective, but to put a stake in the ground.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that a conservative approach, 3 to 5 times EBITDA.
Right.
This is your range of value. Is that going to get it done or not? Well, then we move that number up to say, okay, this is what would get it done. Do you think that we have a chance of getting a 15 multiple? Right? So it's really educating that this is likely what's going to happen, but also it's the timing as well. We're in a pretty frothy market right now.
Right.
But some businesses should never sell. Because they're great operating companies. They throw off wonderful cash flow.
Right.
And if you professionally manage them for decades, you're going to be better off keeping it. Right? So also, many likely buyers will be private equity companies, right?
Right, yeah.
Sure. And we have tremendous relationships with private equity companies across the country. And they want to buy closely held mid-market family businesses.
Right, right.
Right. So we talk to our clients and educate our clients about, so if we turn these knobs just like a private equity company wants to turn the knobs, should you untap that unrealized value or should we sell now because it gets done what you want it done because there's still associated risk by keeping it, right? But it's also showing the upside and the downside.
Right.
So if we have the ability to help you learn how to turn those knobs yourself, is today the day? Or do you want to stay in, turn those knobs, and make decisions based around the success of increasing that value, cash flow, so on and so forth, over the next few years?
It comes to you, right?
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think a lot of it is we're not given that platform as an entrepreneur. I mean, so when we looked at what we were going to do and who we were going to serve, everything that we created from a process perspective and from a voice as a company was building it backwards to serve the entrepreneur.
Right. And when I was introduced to your process, and I go back to the financial model because I'm a financial geek or a recovering financial geek, I guess, but the models and the discipline of how you roll up top to bottom from the individuals to the family to the value of the business, the taxes, everything was in there. I said, oh my gosh, would I have loved to try to work on that? But it was well done. And you couple that with the relationship and the other things that you're doing to put decisions in front of these people. When I heard all that, I was really excited to establish a relationship with you. So I'm excited for you all moving forward. There's great work that you can do and are doing.
Well, if you think about it, it's that trickle down, right? So if we can help clients continue with their successful businesses because it's the right choice,
right?
Or we can help clients monetize those businesses and whoever buys them continues to do what they do, create jobs, help families, employ people, right? And then putting the capital for monetizing to work,
right?
Whether that be philanthropic, a portion of that, right?
Yep.
Other give back scenarios, create the time and freedom for somebody to do what their next passion is.
Right.
I think those are all just wonderful things to be a part of.
Those are great things. I can see we're not on the TV, so people can't see our smiles, but we're just smiling here, saying this is our passion. This is why we do what we do, and I love every minute of what I'm doing here. So.
Me too. I mean, this is the second career for me, and I decided that, you know, there's got to be peer-to-peer relationship, not subservient to the client, but there to really be their peer in this journey to help them achieve what they want to achieve.
Right. Not all of them are like that, but at least not now. Some of them, I look at, sometimes people are knowers versus learners, and the knowers, you know, kind of have that a little more self-confidence that they kind of close the door on listening and learning new things or wanting to even go there. But the learners, you know, you've got their ear and you're able to share. And at some point that's going to sink in and make a difference.
Agreed.
That's really good stuff. So is there anything we didn't cover today? I can't believe we're almost to the end of our hour, but I think you've covered a lot. Is there anything that we didn't talk about?
I can think of.
Okay.
I mean, we are blessed as a company. We're blessed with the team that's part of our journey inside WealthPoint. You've met some of our leadership,
right?
But you haven't met all of our team, and their core values resonate every day with the, you know, how you can have a feel when you walk into a business.
That's it. Yeah.
Is there an energy? Is there a rhythm? Is there a good sense of there's good things going on?
Right.
I think we have that. We've captured that.
That's what you've got.
It doesn't get any better than that for me.
Yeah. I sensed that with the team as we were doing our session the other day. It was a pleasure to be part of that. So before we end, what's the best way for folks to get in touch with you or WealthPoint?
Sure. Our website is WealthPoint, all one word, .net.
That's easy enough.
Right. And then our phone number is 602-773-5533. Or they can email me at tim@wealthpoint.net.
That's easy enough.
Be happy to have a conversation with anybody that wants to talk.
Terrific. And I think I'll do the same. My email is john.deiter@johndeitersolutions.com. Or 480-760-5809. Maybe somebody needs to talk to both of us, Tim.
That'd be great.
That would be awesome.
Thank you for inviting me to share today. Thanks
for sharing this. This has been enjoyable. I guess that's it for today for Business Solutions Radio, sponsored by Conscious Capitalism Arizona, where our theme is, it's just good business.